Hey now, welcome to another edition of the Inside BS Show. My name is Dave Lorenzo, and today we're talking to my friend Arnie Brown, and here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about banking, we're going to talk a lot about business development, and we're going to talk a lot about what you need to do to create great relationships with your clients. My friend Arnie is a master of this. He's going to share his expertise in the area of banking, in the area of relationship development. I can't wait to introduce you to this guy. Please join me in welcoming Arnie Brown to the Inside BS Show. Arnie, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Dave. I'm really happy to be here, and it's a pleasure and honor to be part of your show. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to be with you, Arnie. So tell us, how did you get into banking? Were you like a little baby banker walking around your house loaning money to your family members and then collecting interest at the end of the week? How did you become a banker?
Well, I was trying to fill my piggy bank a little bit quicker to my sister, but I thought I'd go into dentistry. My dad was a dentist in Morton Grove, Illinois, up in the North Shore of Chicago, and decided not to go into that practice because I didn't want to look into mouths all day and deal with blood and that kind of stuff. So I started to, when I went into finance at Indiana University, I was trying to figure out what the heck I'd want to do. And was it going to be banking? Was it going to be brokerage? But I decided I liked the people aspect of banking. You do get to learn a lot about other people and industries. So it sounded like a lot of fun. I did talk to a lot of people and veered to the finance degree with banking. That's how I started.
Yeah, how much of your day, Arnie, is spent talking to business owners, talking to business leaders, talking to people out in the community? How much of your day are you like either virtually or in person in front of other people?
Yeah, Dave, I like to get out as much as I can. I do have a lot of responsibilities internally to take care of our existing clients, so we do spend a fair amount of time internally. But we do want to get out there. I do spend a lot of time with different boards and giving time to other people. But I'm out there in the marketplace all the time. I do a lot of professional networking through Provisors, as you know, and other groups. And I think it's very important. So I'm out quite a bit meeting with clients, going to lunches, breakfasts, and really just staying on top of my portfolio and my group.
Yeah, talk a little bit about professional services, because you're a senior person at the bank and you work with professional service providers. What makes working with CPAs, architects, lawyers, what makes working with them different than working with entrepreneurs and CEOs of other types of businesses?
That's a great question. It's when you're dealing with law firms, and I've ran law firm groups in the past from my past banking history, and it's a different type of lending. It's very specialized. We deal with professional service firms, so you have many partners and owners of groups like that, and you're trying to keep everybody happy as much as you possibly can. So it's a little challenging at times because everybody's got their own thoughts on what they want in a bank and what they want to do with their business as far as referring it out to other people. So it's a little bit challenging. When you're dealing with a business, say a manufacturer, wholesaler, distributor, which I've done for many years in the past too, you've got typically one or two CEOs or decision points. But with a law firm, you could have a couple hundred partners. You could have anywhere from one to two owners on up to several hundred. It just depends. So it's a little bit more challenging because you're trying to please a bigger audience. And that audience is can be challenging at times because they want to be able to use business back to, they want business back to them as well. If they're feeding you banking business, they want to make sure they're getting, say a law firm might want to do some of your transactional work. They want to work for the bank. So we're trying to kind of make things meet in the middle as much as we can.
Yeah, that can be a real tough balancing act, but you've got a good sized network. So do you often find yourself introducing lawyers to other people who can do business with them, and they love that, right?
Yeah, that's one of the keys. We have to provide added value. We've got to make sure that we are trying to help them out as well. Can't be one-sided. We want to try to connect them with people that might be of value, helping them grow their own business. So it's very important. We try to keep them in front of people, introduce lawyers to accountants. You might have other consulting people. It's really all over the place, Dave. You got to be creative in this business and not just be thinking of yourself. You got to give back, and that's what I try to do.
And when you bank a professional a professional firm, what service offerings make the most sense for you and the bank to provide to them? We're back again with another Sandrowski Business Minute. And today we've got Catherine Raker, the tax expert from Sandrowski Corporate Advisors with us. Okay, Catherine, I'm going on a business trip and I'm going to be out of town. Is the entire trip a write-off? How much can I write off from that trip?
If you're on a business trip, you really need to look at the facts and circumstances about your trip. So if you're on a business trip and the expenses that you're incurring are ordinary and necessary, then yes, you can take that deduction. If you're on a personal trip and you add some business to it, then you have to be really careful. You could deduct the expenses that directly relate to the business portion of your trip. Additionally, in a very conservative manner, you could deduct some of the expense in your travel on how you arrived or left or got to and fro to the destination. So for example, if you were on a 10-day personal trip and within that you spent 2 days doing just pure business, no personal type activities, then I would say, well, maybe 20% of the cost of what it was to get to your destination could be an actual business expense. You want to be careful to make sure that you err on the side of conservatism with business travel.
All right, Catherine. So I'm a lawyer and I'm going to Hawaii to take a deposition. I'm going to Hawaii. I work while I'm on the plane. I take the deposition in Hawaii. I don't lay around in the sun. I get back on the plane. I go home and I work while I'm on the plane on my way home. Is that a business trip that's completely deductible?
Yeah, that sounds like you had no personal agenda in going. It was all business. I would deduct 100% of that.
All right. So now I go on the trip. I take the deposition, but then I go visit a volcano. Can I deduct the trip to the volcano, the expense for the trip to the volcano as a tax deduction?
Oh, no, I would not do that. That is a personal expense, clearly.
All right. Remember what Catherine said. You want to err on the side of conservatism when it comes to business travel. This has been today's Sandrowski Business Minute with Catherine Raker. Catherine, thank you for your time and your fantastic advice.
You're welcome.
With a firm like a law firm, I'll just stay with that for right now. With them, you want to obviously open an operating account. You want to have them their primary checking account, their IOLTA account, which is a trust account they have to keep for the clients. And then above and beyond that, you've got bells and whistles with treasury management products. Sometimes you might have lock boxes. You might have expert accounts payable, expert accounts receivable, positive pay. There's a lot of fraud going on right now out there in the banking industry, and we're trying to protect our clients as much as possible, and positive pay does that. So, and then we're also trying to help them on the personal side as well with their private banking needs.
Oh, that's really interesting. So how do you teach us how to start that conversation? So you're working with a banker you're working with a professional firm provider. You're working with an attorney. And how do you take that conversation and get into some of the personal things that they do? How do you make that switch?
Yeah, a lot of times you might be dealing with a law firm that a partner all of a sudden is a income partner, or he's a associate. So now he has a chance to become an equity partner. They say, okay, congratulations, you've now attained the status. You brought a lot of business in, so we'd like to give you some ownership in our firm. Well, go ahead and either you could write us a check because you now owe us your equity ownership or whatever. So they might come to the bank for that. We do a fair amount of that. Or they might finance it internally. So when you start talking about that, you do get a personal financial statement. Things come from that. You might see a guy has a nice mortgage, nice size mortgage. You want to talk to them about what kind of rates they're paying, try to save them money. You might see also that they have a fair amount of liquidity. So they might want to talk to your wealth management group. We might be able to deliver some nice advice to them. We try not to do that with any strings attached. If they want a second set of eyes, and I always push that, please let us have a look. We'll take care of you. And there's no restrictions and no upfront commitments we're asking for.
One of the things I always encourage my professional firm clients to do, Arnie, is I like them to buy hard assets, right? Because professional firms, it's all goodwill. It's all their relationships with their clients. And if they want an exit strategy, if any one of the partners, particularly like one of the name partners who has a lot of ownership in the firm, if they want an exit strategy at some point, those assets are always going to be valuable for that exit. Or if they get into trouble, let's say there's a lull in their business and they want to increase their line of credit, they can use the asset perhaps as a way to increase their line of credit. So have you ever worked with them to help them get mortgages for their commercial space so that they can buy their own buildings, that sort of thing?
Sure, that's one thing we do offer. We do a lot of owner-occupied lending on mortgages, so we're happy to take a look at that. We'll obviously try to figure out what kind of space they need. Typically, with law firms and professional service firms, you try not to have them have more than 10% of their revenues going toward a mortgage payment or rental. So you want to make sure to keep them in line and not overstep what their means and what they should. So yeah, certainly we do that, Dave. A lot of them, I work with a lot of also tenant reps that will help place firms into nice size office buildings downtown and try to make referrals that way, try to introduce people that could deliver value. But certainly we'll look at direct financing for properties.
All right, so now let's talk a little bit about law firms and lines of credit, Arnie.
Yeah, sure.
We have a lot of people who listen to the show, who watch the show, who may be sole practitioners, maybe they're just going out on their own. Give us a good little brief little course on what you need to do to make sure that you're the best candidate for the optimum line of credit if you're in a professional firm.
Yeah, that's a really good question. We've dealt with all kinds of firms. We'll deal with one-man shops all the way up to 1,000-plus attorneys. A lot of times you'll get a group that say they're with a large law firm. They want to break out. So you might get 10 guys, 10 partners, 10 associates. They want to break out. They want to start their own gig. And for whatever reason, it might not be aligning right now with their current firm. They want to start their own thing, maybe make a little bit more money. Lawyers like to make money. It's called profits per partner. So they might want to start up their new practice. So what we'll do is we'll typically sit down with them. We'll ask them to put together a little business plan as far as, you know, here's the law practice and here's what we're planning on doing. 10 people, this might be our needs. We're going to ask for a little bit of sources and uses. What might you want to finance up front? A lot of times these guys are thinking that they're going to try to do it all with bank financing. They need to probably come in with a little bit of capital. And so we'll try to find a happy medium. There's nothing that's in a box. We want to look at their experience. You know, if they have a nice tenure with their existing firm, with other firms, and this is a group that has proven themselves with the existing firm, we're happy to go up, set up a line of credit with them. We might do it based on a borrowing base, which is like an 80% of the receivables that they have. But a lot of times they need money up front. They want to finance some capital expenditures. We're happy to do that. We will probably ask for some recourse to them, the guarantees, because obviously things for a new firm could go a little bit not as planned sometimes, and we'll work with them. So it's nothing in a box. We want to be creative, and we want to help them out. Done a ton of those, Dave. Done a ton of those kind of breakouts.
That's great. And they can come back to you in like 18 months, 2 years, and ask to have the personal guarantees removed, right? Once the firm has some history.
Yeah, there's burn down provisions, you know, once they have different levels and they've got profitability, so on and so forth. And a lot of times firms want to borrow as much as they can. They're not debt averse. They're happy to borrow. But at the same time, they want to take all the profits out of the firm. So sometimes you either want to have a capital in the firm that's building up from profits, or you want to have, or their equity, or you want to have, bank debt. You got to meet in the middle. You can't always have one, the bank's got 100% into the deal. Either keep some capital in there, or you got to guarantee some things from time to time.
All right. Now, Arnie, let's switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk about doing business with a banker, right? How do I make sure that, like, let's say I'm a brand new lawyer, brand in a sole practice, and I want to establish a relationship with a banker. I tell people all the time, there's two really great ways to establish a relationship with a banker. Number one, take $1 million and deposit it in the bank. Or number two, refer the banker 3 big clients and there you go. You got a relationship with a banker either way. What are your thoughts? Obviously, those are great, right? But sure. what are the best ways to establish a relationship with a banker before you need a banker?
You're talking about as a banking client?
So I know I'm gonna move to Chicago, yeah. And I want to establish a relationship with Arnie 6 months before. What are the best ways for me to do it?
Okay, let's plan ahead. We want to talk to you as early as we possibly can. I've got professionals that have told me that they're planning on breaking away and they're starting their own practice or moving into town like you're talking about. Different time frames happen. Sometimes you don't have as much time as you need to get it going and really think about it. But we want to talk to them as early as possible and make sure that what they want is what we can deliver. We've got a lot of products and services, but really it's more about the personal relationship. There's banks on every corner of the street, especially in Chicago, a ton of competition. So we want to make sure that we give them top line consistent service.
We're speaking with Arnie Brown. He's a senior vice president at Fifth Third Bank. He works in professional services. He also does a lot of real estate financing, can help you with some cash management strategies. If you want to reach out to him, you can give him a call at 312-948-1046, 312-948-1046. I'm also going to put his email address down in the show notes if you want to connect with him. Arnie, let's talk a little bit about what you do to attract business to you and to the bank. And how has your business development changed over the years? So first, tell folks what you're doing today, and then tell us how it's changed over the years.
Yeah, I think it's really important to keep a really good network of people. I've got a very strong LinkedIn network, and I'm also part of Provisors, which you are as well. And there's a tremendous stable of people there that I think very, very highly of. So you want to give back as much as you can. I've got other groups I participate in. A lot of young folks, even coming out of college and all that, you want to make sure that you start networking as early as possible. Especially through COVID times, people didn't have a chance to do as much face to face. So Zooming has been incredibly important over the last couple of years. But really stay in front of people. You want to be there. So when the need arises, say somebody comes to you and says, "Dave, I need a good banker." You want to be thought of at that time. I want you to think of Arnie. I want you to think of me. A lot of times people just think everything is immediate gratification. You can't go to one networking meeting. You can't go to one social and walk away with 4 or 5 customers. You'd love to think that, but that's not always going to happen. Plant the seeds, stay with it, stay on top of your referral sources and build a nice stable around you. It's incredibly important to do that. So that's my number one recommendation.
Yeah. Arnie, tell us a story. Give us a good success story, because a lot of people, when I encourage them to do that, they're this day and age, right? You can pick up your phone and there's an app on your phone for everything, right? So everybody wants stuff right now. And you and I are cut from the same cloth. We'll work on a network, we'll build a network for a year without getting anything back. And then all of a sudden, a year, 18 months in, you get 5-6 deals in a row and you're like, wow, this really paid off. You and I both know that. Share with us a story about when you put in a lot of time and a lot of effort and you didn't think it was going to pay off. And then, wow, one day it just really paid off for you.
Yeah, I got to think back in time here, but there's several of those things do pop to mind, Dave, without intimate details, because I can't remember all the little pieces, but I can just tell you, there are people that surface over the many years that you haven't talked to somebody. You want to try to keep in touch with everybody, but when you have such a wide stable of people and a lot of contacts on LinkedIn, I do remember a situation recently, probably the last 6 months, where one of my contacts, I think it was an accountant, that I hadn't touched base with probably in a year and a half, 2 years prior. But all of a sudden, he had the need. He had a guy coming to him and wanted to talk about a loan for a move he was going to be doing. So the guy thought of me. Typically, you want to refer maybe 2 or 3 people, let a end user decide who they want to use, which banker they want to use. He called me, and I was very appreciative. He called me. We made a proposal to this borrower and ended up doing the deal. So it's one that I kind of lost touch with the guy for a couple of years, but it just goes to show you, people hopefully will think about you when the time comes. Everybody's got a different way of organizing their contacts. It's not always very easy to do that and stay in touch with everybody, because people know a lot of people, and you want to help everybody out, but it's not really practical a lot of times to do that. So just stay in front of people and get involved.
So talk to me about the groups that you joined. Obviously, you and I both think ProVisors is a great group to join, but you got to be, you know, the benefit of joining ProVisors is that you can introduce people in ProVisors to people you meet in other places. How do you decide what groups you're going to join? In particular, how do you decide, like, what boards you're going to sit on, what charities you're going to be a part of? What is your criteria? How do you make those decisions?
Yeah. That's a great question, because there's so many options out there. You could do, you could spend 100% of your days doing networking groups and doing all that. But unfortunately, you got to do some work too. I do business with a lot of law firms, so I'm on a couple boards, like Lawyers for Creative Arts boards. I do a lot of Lawyers Connecting, because I do a lot of trade type work with these folks. So I'm also involved with a lot of architectural firms, engineering. We do a lot of doctor groups, practices. So I want to stay involved. I want to try to get out to small business expos and really stay in front of, as SBA lending, you're dealing with a lot of companies at all different levels, new, you know, established, ones that want to have more extended payouts. So I'm involved with a couple law firm groups. I'm also involved with a couple general networking groups, breakfast clubs. And it does take a lot of time. It really is something you have to make a really hard effort to do and succeed with. Otherwise, you could just be scrambling. And people are always coming to you, telling you more about, you should join this group, you should go to BNI, whatever. You can't do everything, as you know, Dave.
Yeah. So talk to me about the law firm groups in particular. Which groups did you join, and why did you select them?
Yeah, it's a couple of them are really good, because I'm the only banker on these. It's mostly law firms. Lawyers for the Creative Arts is a group I've been involved with for probably 12 years or so. It's a group of really terrific attorneys that give their pro bono time. They're trying to help artists in different, you know, theaters, all different types of arts community. And they've gotten most of them are major law firms that are part of it. And I really stay in touch with these folks. I've done business with a lot of these law firms over the past many years when I ran the law firm group at LaSalle Bank, which is, you know, long gone. And also Lawyers Connecting is another great opportunity for me. I've got a number of, now this is more smaller solo practice and smaller firms. I want to try to educate them and help them and their clients. But I'm not just trying to say we do law firm business only, because we don't. Professional services, we're very expansive. And we'll handle a lot of different types.
No, I understand. I just, you know, for people who are out there, their heads are spinning, because there's, like you said, there's so many choices. So I want to gain a window of insight into how you decide, hey, listen, we're going to invest in these, and here's the reasons why. And when it comes to clients for the bank, are there any particular clients, especially in professional services, that make more sense because they need more of what the bank has to offer?
Yeah, we in the professional services, you really have to offer a top level of top line of service, professional services, and care touch points. You've got to be tremendous with follow up. You have to really stay on top of these folks, and they're expecting exquisite banking. They don't want to just be anybody off the street. They're demanding. So we pretty much are aware of that. We have the support team in place to give us what we need. And we try to keep them at the highest level of banking they could possibly be, because we're trying to be a touch point for them to cross sell other areas of bank that would be helpful for them in their practices and their with any personal needs they might have, corporate needs. So it's really very challenging when we don't stay on top of that. But I've been doing this for many, many years, and it's worked. And professional services is a demanding but very appreciated industry. It's great. We love it.
Arnie, how do you decide who you're going to refer business to? What is the Arnie Brown criteria for giving out a referral to a doctor's group, an architecture firm, a CPA group, or a law firm?
Yeah, Dave, that's my number one most important thing. If you refer somebody to another person, to a client, to a prospect, another center of influence. You want to make sure they follow up. You want to make sure the person they're introducing them to comes back to you and says, hey, Arnie, that was really time well spent. The guy followed up with me. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. I'm not going to do business with him right now, but this is a guy I want to know down the road. I like to, my mantra is surrounding myself with quality people. I want to have a stable of individuals that I feel comfortable with, that I know I could trust, and are not going to embarrass me. I mean, if I put somebody in front of somebody that's not going to fall through and drops the ball, that's the worst thing you possibly have. Somebody comes back to me and says, hey, you know, this guy was a bozo. Forget it. That would be horrible. And it's happened over time. And you got to make sure those are the people you push aside and move on to the next opportunity. You do not want that to happen regularly at all.
Sure, sure. Now, Arnie, talk about really briefly some of the things that you and Fifth Third offer to professionals. What are some of the services that you provide to professionals, some of the things that you do every day for folks who are in professional services?
Yeah, we can do stuff as basic as a checking account. Somebody wants to have a personal or corporate checking account, all the way on up to all types of cash management products, bells and whistles. I'm not going to bore you with all the details. And then above and beyond that, on the lending side, we want to do anything for personal lines of credit, mortgages for the home. Then you start getting into business stuff and lines of credit, revolving lines of credit for the business, term financing if they want to buy some equipment or bring in a capital partner, buy out another practice. We're all about acquisition financing, too. We'll try to help people out if they want to look at another acquisition, either vertically or whatever will help their business. And then really across the board, we'll help them on any kind of personal needs they have. They might want to buy a yacht or something. We can go into that kind of structure as well. I don't get into that very often, but that's it's not out of the realm of possibilities.
All right, Arnie. So I do a fair amount of practice group acquisition work and that sort of thing. Talk about how that works. What would we need to prepare if we're coming to you? Let's say I have a client and the client is a corporate transactional firm and they're buying an intellectual property firm. What do we need to bring to you? Obviously, you want financial statements and everything. Do you need personal information from the partners on both sides? What are you going to need to see in order to determine whether you're going to be able to help them with financing for something like that?
Number one, we understand competition. You know, we don't want to be an outlier and request something that another bank might not want to do because we could be pushed aside and all of a sudden we could be a non-factor right away. We want to look at both sides of the equation. So if you're looking at one firm acquiring another firm, if it's a different type of practice, you know, okay, what do you know about this kind of practice? Is this just something you want to expand on to have a little bit more depth in your law firm practice? So we want to look at what the nature of the receivables are, who the clients are they're dealing with. Are they, maybe there's cross-referral opportunities there. If it's a corporate law firm and an IP firm, obviously there's a nice blend there. They want to add that. They might want to add a estate planning unit or real estate group to their firm. So you want to understand the individuals behind it, what their experience is, and not just financials, but certainly you want to make sure that they can absorb the financial impact. A lot of these structures are very, very different too. You might have a buyout. You might have all of a sudden they just roll the equity into the new firm. So Dave, there's not really one type of requirement, but we want to understand the practices, both groups very much in detail. Yes, when it comes to personal, you asked about personals. Yes, we might want to look at their personal financial statements as well, but really understand the corporate side of things and what it's all about, chemistry and how these firms will meld. I've done a lot of law firm and other types of firms acquisitions where they the chemistry is horrible and the thing breaks down. All of a sudden you see partners leaving over the next year and you got a skeleton situation and they're fragile. Firms can be very fragile and turn off the spigot really quick. So,
all right. So we're talking with Arnie Brown. He's a senior vice president and he's the professional services banker at Fifth Third Bank. If you want to reach out to him, you can call him at 312-948-1046, 312-948-1046, 312-948-1046. I'm going to give you his email address down in the show notes as well. Arnie, I need you to think about three things right now that you want the folks who are listening, the folks who are watching, to take away from our time together. I'm going to give you a minute to do that as I remind the folks that one of the things that we do here, the reason that we come to you, we're brought to you by My Revenue Roadmap Guide. You see, if you're listening to the show, you're watching the show, and you want to build your business, and you want to do it through relationship-based business development strategies, you need a plan. Well, I've got the perfect business development plan for you. It's the same plan I use with my clients. I customize it for them. I'm going to give it to you now for free. That's right. You heard me correctly. I'm going to give it to you for free. Here's what you need to do. Go to this website, RevenueRoadmapGuide.com, RevenueRoadmapGuide.com. Enter your contact info there, and you can download my business development plan for professional firms, and you can download it for free. It's my gift to you for listening, for watching the show. RevenueRoadmapGuide.com. Enter your contact info. Download it today. Also, I want to remind you that we love your comments. We love your feedback. So if you're listening on a podcast app, use the comment section of the podcast app to tell us what you think. If you got nothing to say, just write a hey now down at the bottom of the comments. Just say, hey now, Dave. Hey now, Arnie. It was great listening to you. Great watching you. We love those, especially on YouTube. Give us a hey now on YouTube. We love your feedback. Thank you so much for joining us today. All right, Arnie, what are the three things we should take away from our time together today?
Number one, do what you say. If people are going to come to you, do what you say you're going to do. Be transparent and be sincere. That's number one. And you got to do that. Be consistent in your follow-up. Make sure that you're going to do exactly what you said. It's kind of a takeoff of the first one. You want to be credible. You want to be honest. So there might be more than three here, Dave. I'm just going to give you a couple. Credibility, honesty, critical. You could destroy yourself if you don't do that. And creative, be a good advisor to people, and give, give, give. You want to make sure that you're not just a taker out there. There's so many people that do that, and they look like they're extremely selfish. Give, 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 and be a good follow-up person. And that's all I can say. I really have appreciated this. This is terrific.
Arnie, you're the best. Thank you so much. Folks, if you need help with anything in the realm of banking, call my friend Arnie Brown. He's a senior vice president at Fifth Third Bank. He does professional firms, but if you're a regular business owner, you're an entrepreneur, you're developing a business, you're buying a business, you need some advice on what you're doing with your finances, what you're doing with your banking, give Arnie a call today, 312-948-1046, 312-948-1046. Arnie, it was such a pleasure having you on the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Dave, it's my honor. Thanks so much for having me. Great show.
All righty, folks, that'll do it for this episode of the Inside BS Show. My name is Dave Lorenzo. I'll be back with you again tomorrow with another interview. Until then, here's hoping you make a great living and live a great life.